you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. So good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday the 13th. 2020, and with me on the phone lines. In fact, Jason, when's the last time we actually sat face-to-face in a studio doing our program? 7, 8, 10 months ago?
It was a long time ago. I was actually thinking about that yesterday, that it's been since mid-May.
Okay.
In fact, I was thinking about it yesterday. It's been since mid-May that I've sat with a bunch of different people. I thought, oh my gosh, how time just flies. In the midst of kind of all of this craziness and confusion and all the things that are happening, you know, that time just slips away, and all of a sudden you go, wait a second, it's almost 2021. Although I think that many of us would just, we'll be happy to see 2020 go.
I know I gave, on Wednesday's program, the countdown, 15 or 16 days till Thanksgiving, and we begin launching into Christmas music, and it's, you know, we'll be soon talking about Christmas gifts. You know, we'll almost be looking beyond Thanksgiving, and then it's the new year, and, you know, is the election ever going to be settled, and the what ifs. And I met with my accountability group yesterday morning, and we were all just talking about, will things ever be settled or resolved? And then we all started talking about kind of the what ifs. Let's not just keep dwelling on all the uncertainty and being nervous or frustrated or angry, upset, you know, on and on. Let's transition into a time of, are we displaying the peace of Christ? Are the fruits of the Spirit evident in our conversations, evident in how we share the good news message of Jesus? You know, what should be the priorities of our lives? And we were all trying to kind of recalibrate. And I think with Veterans Day being on Wednesday, it did give us a sense of, wow, our focus wasn't just on all the circumstances at hand. We were thinking about veterans. By the way, Jason, thank you for serving our country and being a veteran yourself. And John Swinford, our station manager in Springfield, is a veteran. And I'm sure all of our listeners know veterans that are neighbors or part of their family or those that have served or are currently serving. But Wednesday did afford us a chance to see different kind of Facebook posts and for a moment take a breather from all the circumstances with the election and so forth. And we were kidding yesterday that maybe, you know, things will transition. But, you know, again, it's crazy today. Everyone's talking about this. And what about this recount? And, all the things that we can get caught up in. And I said to these guys yesterday, my default was, Lord, help me, please help me transition conversations more into lifting your name up, pointing to the scriptures, you know, finding points of healing or commonality that we can rejoice or thank God for things instead of just the wah, wah, wah that is a tendency, because things are crazy. And so, I don't know. I just keep thinking, Lord, help me keep the main thing, and that's that you bring hope. You have a redemptive plan that God loves, that none would not be with him in heaven, that we have this message of hope, of comfort, of care, that we serve a great God. And, you know, help me transition those conversations that are going down the road towards division or griping to be more transformative, so that I can be a healing agent, that I can be that ambassador of God. And I don't know, do you find yourself, just because everyone, you know, wants to talk to the pastor and gripe about this or get your take on this, how can we be equipped to breathe life into those conversations and hope to direct them back towards godly things? I don't know. And maybe as we look at James today, that can be fleshed out. But any thoughts before we begin at I think I'll start at verse 27 and then maybe start into chapter 2. But any thoughts on this subject?
Well, I think that probably one of the things is it's all about perspective. And you even said it yourself, you know, when things kind of settle down. Well, things should never, as Christians, because as Christians, followers of Jesus, we have a unique understanding of how the world works. We have a unique understanding about all the things that are happening in the world, and we understand that it is happening because of sin, that the world is a broken place. And so one of the worst messages we could ever as Christians convey is that the world is a settled place, because the only settled matter in the mind of God is eternity in Christ. Mm-hmm. Other than that, God tells us in his word that the world is a broken place, that the world is falling apart, you know, bursting at the seams. In fact, Revelation tells us that he is holding back the winds from the east and the west, you know, which is like the full measure of the brokenness of this world. And so even now what we see not the full manifestation of this brokenness, but we see it and mm-hmm. we feel it. And so we have this unique opportunity to be able to speak into it. And isn't it just like God to bring us to a season of life where it is so apparent, even to the unbelieving world, that the world is broken, mm-hmm. that the world is messed up, that the human heart is only wicked all the time? You know, I was reading the other day Hebrews 12:28. It says, therefore, let us be grateful for a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And the idea there is that God's kingdom is unshakable, which means that man's kingdom is entirely and always shakable. That this thing is temporary and can be shaken, like one of those snow globes that you buy, you know, when you don't know what to buy on vacation, you get one of those snow globes. That our kingdom can be shaken. And therefore, it says in Hebrews, let us offer God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, which means let us keep our eyes fixed on God, fixed on this unshakable kingdom, and make invitations to other people into this kingdom that cannot be shaken. And we do that by acknowledging that the world is a broken place, that what we thought was normal was not good. Because what we thought was normal embodied racism. What we thought was normal embodied sex slavery. What we thought was normal embodied abortion. What we thought was normal embodied all kinds of things that the Bible says is not good. In fact, it's not even a political thing to talk about racism, because we may even this week or next week talk about the sin of partiality, which is the sin of discrimination. Discrimination not just of one kind of people group, but discrimination of all kinds of people groups and social situations and those kinds of things. But the point of it is that as Christians, we don't live with a settled heart in terms of how we view the world. Our settled heart comes because we are part of an unshakable kingdom, and Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And that's what we bring to this shaken kingdom. That's what we bring into the world. We bring into the world a hope that abounds, not just a hope in tomorrow, but a hope that abounds all the way into eternity. You know, that we know that God loves his people. And that God's motivation for all that he does is his great love, that his great love being poured out in the person of Jesus Christ. And so we bring that into the world. And so, you know, when people come to me and they say, when will it get back to normal? And I say, it never was normal. It never was normal. You know what it was? You and I and all of us, we were comfortable. We were comfortable. And then I have to have a conversation where I say, and now I almost feel guilty about that, because when I read the New Testament, I don't find people following Jesus who are comfortable. I find people following Jesus who are dragged out of cities and stoned. I find people following Jesus who are crucified upside down. I find people following Jesus who say, you know, when they hurl all kinds of insults at you, which means that that's what happened to those people. And so I find these people who live kind of counterculturally because they came with the message of Jesus. And because they lived countercultural, culture didn't always accept them. And so when I think, when will it get back to normal? I think maybe we got a bit too comfortable and we decided to call that normal. And maybe that's the reason why the church has declined, not only in numbers, but in prominence and
influence
in being the hope of the world.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting too, you know, those that were followers of Christ, but I'm also thinking, and I've been reading through a lot of the Psalms, and King David, Saul was after him. Many times his life was in jeopardy. He had to live in caves. He didn't know where his meals were going to come from. You know, he had family members turning on him. And, you know, throughout the Psalms, David's crying out to God. He has these enemies. And I was thinking, you know, I can't identify with a lot of David. I don't have these enemies that want to kill me. I'm not persecuted the way he was. I don't have family members totally turning on me, wanting to, you know, rule the kingdom and take over. And I'm thinking, David had those refining fires constantly on him that caused him to plead and anguish. You know, he says, I fill my bed with tears all night long. And I'm like, do we live in that situation? It's like, yeah, we've not only become maybe complacent or comfortable, but I was thinking, wow, we have it pretty easy.
Well, and think about this. You know, a lot of times when you get into a Bible study about the Psalms and you begin to talk about the Psalms, what a lot of people will immediately say is, wow, David, he's kind of crazy. You know, he vacillates between these huge emotional swings. He begins the Psalms by, oh, my gosh, God, where are you? Why are you not present? And he ends the Psalm by, the Lord God reigns over all things.
Yeah.
You know, and as you read the Psalms, you're like, this guy, he needs to, like, find his balance. You know, he needs to, like, no. David was called a man after God's own heart because David was willing to pour his heart out to God. David was willing to live a transparent life. David didn't try and tuck away and hide himself. Instead, David was who he was. And listen, because he was who he was, he had prophets around him who lifted him up. He had mighty men who lifted up. By the way, mighty men don't follow people who are fake and who are simply embody kind of an image. Instead, mighty men follow people who are true. And the mighty men follow David. And so David, we read the Psalms and we're almost critical of David when actually we should celebrate the fact that David models for us a kind of life that maybe we need to live. David was not unfaithful. You know what David actually was? He was humble. And David was humble that in the fact that he knew that he was a broken man. And he knew how great God was. And because he knew how great God was, he knew he couldn't lose the gift that God had given him. And so he could bring to God all of his cares, all of his frustrations, all of his hurt, all of his anguish, and all of his anger. And he knew that God would lead him triumphantly from that place of deep despair and darkness to light, magnificent light, to worship, to reverence, and to awe. That David knew that his kingdom, this is Hebrews, the verse I just told you. David knew that his kingdom every single day was being shaken. But he knew that he could come to God who had an unshakable kingdom and that God would remind him of that. And so sometimes I think that what we do is we live in kind of this facade as Christians of believing that this is how we have to be as Christians. And if we were to act like David, that the world or other Christians might call us unfaithful. And this is really fascinating because James says in 26, in chapter 1 and 26.
Thank you for bringing it. I'm looking at it right now thinking, you know, I wonder if we're going to get into James here, but great.
Yeah, and he says, if anyone thinks he is religious, and that's what we do. By the way, when the New Testament uses the word for religion or religious, it's not always positive. It's not always positive. Sometimes it's used in a sense like, why are you doing that? Why are you putting on a show? Why are you acting counter to who it is that you should be? And so James says, if anyone thinks he's religious, if anyone thinks he has faith, if anyone thinks that he's really following God, you need to be real careful. Because as he's already said, you know, what you do will show who you are. What you say will show what you believe. And so we need to be very, very careful. And I think that what we've done is we've built kind of this religious image that God's people are unshakable. And the reality of that is that we're not unshakable. His kingdom is unshakable. We're not unshakable. In fact, we can be easily shaken. And we need to acknowledge that. You know why? Because I think that in sometimes, oftentimes, that is one of the greatest forms of evangelism. Is you know, what's more powerful? You know, man, I'm really going through a difficult season of life. This is happening with my wife or my kids, and this is really hard, and this is really difficult, and this is really – and you go, oh, brother, you know, you just got to have faith. And somebody says, yeah, well, you know what? I think I don't have that right now. And so now immediately that person isn't in the camp. Now they're out of the camp. Yeah. Now we've made them feel less than more than. And we've done counter to the ministry of Jesus, because what did Jesus do when broken people came to him? He always tried to lead them to a place that lifted them up. Because that's what Jesus was always about. Jesus was about lifting people up. I think about the centurion who came to Jesus, and he says, man, I have little faith. Help me in my unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, all right, now we're cooking. Now we got something to work with, because you're being honest.
Yeah, and I think Jesus, some of the harshest words he ever had were for the religious people. It wasn't for the sinners or those that were in sin or the adulterers or those that have committed whatever sins. It was about the religious people that had that facade, that pretended.
Yeah, and so what's more powerful? I'm really struggling with my marriage, my kids, da-da-da-da-da. You just got to have faith. Or I'm struggling with my marriage, my kids, da-da-da. Man, you know what? I struggle with that too. And I used to lean into myself, and that never produced anything, because I would just get more frustrated, and I would just get more angry. I'd have more arguments with my wife. I would have more, you know, I would yell at my kids more. I found I have to lean into Jesus, not myself. And then it begins a conversation about what following Jesus looks like, what following Jesus in your marriage looks like, what following Jesus with your kids looks like, you know. I mean, I had a friend recently who came to me, you know, because one of their kids had a real difficult moment. And they said to me, oh, my gosh, has this ever happened to you? And I go, yes, totally happens to me. And all of a sudden, listen, that doesn't create divisions within the camp. That says, oh, my gosh, you mean we're all following Jesus? You mean we're all part of a kingdom that is daily shaken? And that what we need more than anything is to be reminded that we have an unshakable kingdom? And religion would have us believe that, no, we're doing okay. Everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? Everything's not always fine. In fact, Paul writes in Corinthians that he despaired unto death. I mean, throughout the New Testament and throughout the Old Testament, we have faithful people of God who come to God and say, listen, it's not going that good with me right now. I'm really struggling. I'm really having a lot of trouble. And God lifts them up.
Mm-hmm.
And God uses his people to do that. And so we need to be those kinds of people. And we do that by not acknowledging that the world is normal, because the world's not normal. It's broken and it's fallen. That the world is not a settled place, that it is unsettled and continually every single day is shaken and will continue to shake more and more and more as we approach the day when Jesus returns.
Mm-hmm.
You listen, the Bible says that Jesus is going to put all things back together, that he's going to make all things new. Well, if we live like everything's already back together and everything's already good and okay and new, then what does Jesus have to put back together?
Mm-hmm.
So we need to acknowledge that there's a lot of things around us that only Jesus in his return, in his triumphant return, glorious return, is going to put back together. And then in the middle of that, in very small ways, in very, I would say small, but also very important ways, we need to be a part of helping people to see that. Because when we help them to see that, we help them to see Jesus.
Mm.
And that is so important. James says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. You know what James is saying right here? James is saying that, you know what pure religion, undefiled religion is? Humility.
Hmm.
Realizing your place in the world, that God is huge, and that all of us are a part of this shaking kingdom, and that there's no station in life that you have that doesn't allow you to, that gets you out of seeing the fact that there are people who are struggling and hurting. The widows and the orphans were people in this society who were struggling and hurting.
Mm-hmm.
They were people who desperately needed hope. They were hopeless people. And so James is saying, listen, you want to know what it means to follow God? It means to be a part of acknowledging what's broken, and then be a part of acknowledging how you can be someone who comes in and begins to help to put things back together. You can't be the one who puts it all back together. That's what Jesus does. But you can definitely, by being an ambassador for Christ, come in there through the love of Christ and the hope of Christ, help people.
Yeah, and that concept of being careful not to be polluted by the world or caught up in the world or overly influenced by the world so that you become worldly. He wants us to be heavenly, or agents of him bringing healing and hope to a hurting world.
Could you imagine, just think with me for a moment. See, we think worldly always is about stuff. Oh, man, that guy's so worldly. Look at his cars. Oh, my gosh, that guy's so worldly. Look at his house. Oh, my gosh, that guy's so, you know, worldly. Look at how much he loves his job. And there is a part of that that is true. But if you think about this season of life that we're in, doesn't worldly also mean that you're so bought into what's going on here in this place in the world that you think it's normal? That you forget the truth of the Bible, that way back in Genesis 3, everything came apart, that the world is a broken place, that sin is rampant, and then it's everywhere. And it would be unfortunate, it is unfortunate, that we would become so worldly that we would believe that the world's okay, that it's normal, that, you know, that we can get back to a place where it was settled. And again, I don't want to go through that list, but there is so much in that time that was unsettled, that was broken, that was hurting. But you know what? Sometimes in our own comfort, we miss seeing that. And isn't it like Jesus to kind of take the world like that snow globe and shake it up a little bit to remind us that our kingdom can be shaken, but that we can, in fact, trust in a greater kingdom. You know, I like that analogy of the snow globe and shaking it. Why? Because Jesus has the whole world in his hand. That the one sure thing is that we know who holds the future. We don't know what the future is, but we know the one who holds it. And that's where our hope is, and that's the hope that we as Christians bring into the world. And so when people tell me, they say, man, everything's messed up, I go, yep. Everything's broken, yep. And what a wonderful moment that is. You know why? Because we can then lead them to the unbroken, unstained, and beautiful love of Christ.
Yeah. That never-changing love that he has for each and every one of us. What a great Lord we get to serve. And this Sunday, listening friend, I hope you're participating in a church service, whether in person or via Zoom. Get in a good church that proclaims the good news message of Jesus, that declares God's word, these inspired words that we share on Friday and hopefully throughout our broadcasts all day long. And thank you, Pastor Jason, for your role. Thank you for being a veteran and serving our country and serving our listeners and serving the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. May we all be lifting up our pastors this day and always. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.